Camera action. Welcome to the month of movies for
2017
January, first month of the year.
Look at his head.
That cat's head is all sorts of soft and flat.
She's like cat ground.
You want you introduce the podcast? I'm Scott
and I'm Jason,
and you're just gonna sit there, look at us, don't even meow at us.
Make a meow.
This year, I didn't really mention this. I kind of talked about it in the 2016 recap for this year, but I want to clarify a little bit better because I said I was going to watch.
I talked about what I was watching.
He just said some stuff, but I said I was going to watch 100 movies this year, and what by that I mean 100 of my movies, because I have a bunch of movies that I bought, and some of them are years old since I bought them, and I haven't opened them or watched them. So it's basically just watching 100 of my movies that I already own. So if I watch anything outside of that, that's going to be not counting. So, 100 of my movies.
Okay, so what I'm doing is I compiled a list of a bunch of movies that...
you should have seen.
I should have seen that basically everybody has seen except me.
Ironically, the two that you watched this month I haven't seen.
So my list is movies that everybody has seen but me, and it's basically two a month. And I'm going to mention what movies they are right off the top, because I assume everybody has seen them, so I'm probably going to spoil them. Like I said, because either everyone has seen it or knows about it or whatever. But the two movies I watched this month were Jumanji and Rudy. So if you have not seen Jumanji or Rudy, or don't care if I spoil it...
then pause the podcast and then watch them, and then you can listen to them.
If you've seen it, no. If you've seen it,
no,
you can listen.
No, I mean, if they don't want it ruined.
If you don't want it ruined. Like I said, if you've seen it or you don't care if it's ruined, then this podcast is okay.
Yeah, don't pause it then, unless you don't want
to. Don't chew on the microphone cord.
Yeah.
Get this back.
Play your toy, cat. You're already off the rails. Give him a loud paper bag. The first movie I watched this month, the John Carpenter classic movie that Stephen King book wrote, is Christine. Now, I finally read the book like last year for the first time, and it's a good book, but I was hoping the movie like was kind of decent and kind of cool at the same time. But if you haven't, if you don't know what Christine's about, it's about a kid who sees like this really cool car. It's a really cool old car. He's like, I'm going to buy it. And his friend's like, oh, dude, that's expensive. You're a high school student. It's going to be expensive. Your parents are going to yell at you. He's like, I don't care. That car is awesome. And then it's like all beat to shit. And like he basically spends majority of the movie just like fixing up the car. And like he slowly becomes more and more obsessed with the car. And his parents and like girlfriend are like, what the hell's happening? You're changing. He's like, shut the fuck up. I don't care. This is my car. Christine's all that matters to me. And basically, yeah, the car is possessed, which is kind of sad. But I guess in the book, it's like possessed by the previous owner. But in this movie, it was almost like it was just made evil. Like when it was made, it was evil. So that kind of dampened down the excitement for me a little bit. But other than that, it followed the book pretty close in a lot of spots. And, I don't know, it was a pretty generic, like, I guess, horror movie for me. Because, like, it's almost exactly what I expected it to be. So I gave it a 7. So, I mean, it's fine, but it just, I was hoping for a little bit more. Because there's some pretty cool moments in the book, and they touched upon a few of those, but... yeah.
So the first movie I watched this month was Sharknado.
You just started off strong.
I know, right? That's because of... Okay, so there's this app called Crackle that's like a free movie service.
More like Crapple.
Right.
Ha!
And I was trying to watch Jumanji on it, and every time I loaded the app, it would kick me, like, it would be like, start playing a random movie that I didn't want. And I was like, no, I want to watch Jumanji. I'd click on Jumanji, and then the app would close. So then I did it again. And that stupid movie continued where it left off.
A Charlie Sheen movie.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen Crackle original. And I clicked Jumanji and it would close. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to watch something else then. And then I don't know why. I just picked Sharknado from Netflix. Because it was one of those movies that everybody kept talking about and saying how amazingly bad it was. No, it was just bad. It wasn't amazingly bad. I'm guessing the sequels that they made for this movie are more over the top. Because this one was more just stupid.
Self-aware of how shitty they are.
Right. Well, okay, there was, right off the bat, it's called Sharknado, but they're talking about hurricanes. They're like, oh, these hurricanes are coming, blah, blah, blah. But they're in California. And sure. when a tropical storm comes to California,
it's a typhoon.
It's a typhoon, not a hurricane. So that's one notch against it. Plus, even if it was hurricanes, it's not a Sharknado. It's a hurricane.
Yeah, because tornadoes are like landlocked.
Right. So these are basically hurricanes that travel onto the land and they start calling them tornadoes.
Okay.
But the movie starts where there's a bunch of drunk people in a bar.
Good place to start.
And we have to hold up for the storm and stuff like that. And a shark kills somebody. And they're like, we gotta go farther from the water. And
how does it kill somebody?
Because the shark washed up into the bar.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they're just dropping sharks from the sky. These storms, they're just dropping them from the skies. And so they're like, oh, we have to go. The one guy wants to save his kid because his ex-wife has him. He's like, we're gonna go get him. And then the entire time, sharks are fucking killing people. And eventually, they think, hey, we can stop this tornado. We got to save people. We're going to get a helicopter and drop bombs in the tornadoes. Because tornadoes are made with a cold front and a warm front hitting and spinning cause tornadoes. But if you drop a bomb, oh, there goes the cold front. Now the tornadoes will disappear. So they get into helicopters. And they're dropping bombs into the tornadoes that have sharks in them.
But wouldn't that just kind of like just push the warm front further?
Or wouldn't it just grab the freaking helicopter?
Yeah.
I don't understand how you could drive a helicopter next to a tornado and not die.
So now were only sharks falling from the tornadoes? Yeah. Why were they like specific to the sharks? Why wouldn't fish come from the sky?
There should have been fish and stuff, but I guess there's a shark infestation.
Oh.
There's too many sharks in the ocean. I don't know. It was stupid.
Yeah.
And they kept trying to be mysterious about stuff. They're like, the one girl, she's got a scar. And they're like, where'd you get the scar? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then eventually she spills her story about how she got attacked by a shark.
Like, yeah.
Oh, no shit.
You live in California.
This whole movie's about sharks. And you hate sharks because one attacked you and killed your grandfather. That's not a mystery. And the one guy is just drunk all the time, and he's got all these drunk stories. And I'm like, these characters are the worst.
Sounds like it.
I give it a 3.5.
All right. The next movie, I bought, I don't know why, because I watched it when I was a kid, and it was cool as a kid, because you don't know better. And then I watched it again, and it was awesome.
You own it?
I bought it on Halloween. And then I saw it again when I was like in high school, and it was shit. So I was like, I'm going to buy it when I see it. It's Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight.
See, yeah. You won't even talk now, and I'm holding you.
But it's a Tales from the Crypt movie. It's kind of cheesy, but it's about a guy who he's on the run from a demon who's trying to collect these keys that are basically the keys of the universe. That they existed before, because the universe before the world was created was darkness. Everything was darkness, and that's what demons like, the darkness.
And the keys unlock the darkness?
And, well, I think when God created the earth, it scattered the keys across the universe and stuff, and so, like, once we get the keys, we can bring it back to darkness so our demons can run free.
So they're, like, keys to shut off the light?
I guess, I don't know. Maybe, because there's, like, 7 keys, I think, and I think there's, like, 7 days. Makes sense?
Oh, I see 7 deadly sins.
Oh, duh.
Each key's a seven deadly sin.
That would
take
be,
over the world.
That would be cool if they went into that. But so
the blood of God or Jesus.
Yeah. So it basically, the key holds blood that goes back all the way back to Jesus times, and there's Jesus' blood in there, which is a weakness to demons. The demons are get all hurt by the blood. So it's up to William Sadler to try to. To keep the demons from killing everybody and getting the key. And it's pretty cheesy. There's, unfortunately, like I said, as a kid it was pretty cool. But as an adult, you're like, this is just cringeworthy. Where, like, the crazy guy from Gremlins is in it. And he's like, oh, I'm an alcoholic and I love boobs. And he's, like, in his demon vision thing, he sees, like, all these, like, and I looked up online to see who played them. And they're like all strippers, and like some of them are dead, and porn stars and stuff. And I'm like,
died of syphilis.
They die. But I'm like, this is awful. But it was still like it was a movie I liked as a kid, and it did have some fun, decent parts. But I gave it a 6. The movie had Jada Smith before she no Jada Pinkett before she was a Smith. Before she got married.
The
yeah. And also C.H.H. Pounder. Is that her name? The one from Carmen Sandiego. And The Shield.
Know.
She's the one that on the Carmen Sandiego, she's like the one that the host.
I don't remember that show much.
She has a lot of letters in her name. That's all I remember.
All I know is that show was tricking you into learning history, so I didn't like it.
Yeah. Just go. Oh, she's in a place that Pompeii exploded. In a near country. I don't know. Whatever.
Where's Carmen Sandiego? She's giving us all these hints. If she's really trying to hide, she wouldn't give us these hints.
Yeah. Carmen Sandiego, you're making it a lot easier than it should be.
Right. I guess it's like the Riddler. He's like, I kidnapped people. You can only find them here. And then he gives like...
I suppose then again, Waldo. Like, imagine if Waldo didn't send those postcards. No one would know the fuck where he is.
Well, he's not trying to be found. He just sends postcards. And you're like, oh, I wonder where he was. Because he wasn't specific at all. Oh, he was kind of. He said where it was.
He's taking me out. I'm at the zoo.
And they're like, oh, well, that's a weird postcard that you're on.
I don't want to, but I kind of at the same time want to see them make a live-action Where's Waldo movie nowadays. Just to see what kind of fuck it would be. It'd be, yeah, anyways. Kind of,
Waldo disappeared.
Yeah. They're still making books, I think. I don't know.
Last book I saw was like a puzzle book. It wasn't even like a Where's Waldo. It's like crossword puzzles and stuff. I don't know.
The next movie I watched, X-Men Days of Future Past, even though I saw it like on the first year we did this.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to watch that first, and then I watched X-Men Apocalypse because it led right into it, kind of. So I watched X-Men Apocalypse, which... It's like the third. It's the third X-Men movie in like the first class prequel trilogy. If that makes any sense.
Why did it shut
off? I don't know.
Logged in.
In this movie, it's like it takes place in the 90s, and if anybody knows the comics in the 90s, there was a villain named Apocalypse who had this whole like Age of Apocalypse storyline where. He took over, and, like, he was this really badass character. But in the movie, it starts way, way, way back in ancient pyramid times. And I guess the character, he transfers his energy into other bodies through a ritual because his body would break down. And then... So then it goes into Poe from Star Wars, and he's like, and then but then there's these people that are like, hey, we need to stop this false god, and they just blow up part of the pyramid and like just lock them way down, and then years later, in the 90s, they stumble upon the crypt and reawaken Apocalypse, and then he goes around like just picking out random mutants and be like. Look it, I know how powerful you can be. This is how powerful you can be. Join me. And majority of the movie is just him going around like, mutants, join me. Hey, Psylocke, join me. Magneto, join me.
And they're just like, oh, okay.
And like, oh, this is how powerful he can be. Okay. Until, like, the end of the movie when they're like, we need to stop Apocalypse. Like, up until that part, he, like, didn't really do anything. And majority of the problems that were happening were because of Magneto under Apocalypse's spell. Like, it felt like it was a really... could have been a lot better character. But there were some kind of decent parts. Like, some of the fight stuff was kind of cool. Archangel didn't fucking even really matter in it, which pissed me off because it's Archangel. Psylocke was okay, but she was, like, such a small part. And, I don't know, it was a fun movie. It was better than I thought it was going to be because I heard a lot of bad things about it. Mm-hmm. And it had some really cool parts, but once you, like, sat down and, like, broke it down in your mind, like, not a lot had happened for, like, a 2.5 hour long movie.
But just for the record, the X-Men Days of Future Past was in the October 2014
it was, podcast. I think I liked it.
So if you wanted to see a review on that one, it's in October.
I think I liked it better the second time. It was a lot better the second time,
Did you watch the Rogue Cut the second time?
No, I don't have the Rogue Cut.
Oh, I thought you picked it up on Black Friday or
something. No, I picked that up, like, I picked this, I don't know, no. But I still gave X-Men Apocalypse an 8. Because it is one of the better X-Men movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, Nightcrawler was weird because he's like a little emo dude. I don't know. I forgot Nightcrawler was in it. What's next?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I should wait for those two movies. Yeah, whatever. The first movie on the list of movies I should have seen by now... was Jumanji. It wasn't the first one on my list. It was the first one I found. But Jumanji, in case you haven't seen it...
Or heard of it,
it's a Robin Williams about a board game. The Robin Williams movie about a board game.
I thought you were going to say abortion.
A bobo. Anyway, the movie starts in 1660-something.
Long ago?
And these two kids are running, and they're like, we have to hide this board game, and no one can find this. This is a horrible game, and they bury it, like, deep in the woods somewhere. And they're like, what if somebody finds it? Well, God help them, or something like that. And then it flashes to 1960-something, and there's Robin Williams as a child, and he visits his dad's... shoe factory. His dad owns the shoe factory.
Makes sense.
In town. And it's the, you know, the business that runs the whole town, pretty much. Everybody who's important works at the factory. But anyway, he goes to the factory and he screws some stuff up. And on his way home, they're doing construction somewhere and he's hearing these drums, like, boom, 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 boom. You know, like tribal drums. And he goes to follow it and... he gets to this wall of dirt where they're digging this new building. And he digs in it and he finds this board game. He's like, this is pretty cool. So he rides his bike home. And his friend from like a couple doors down or something comes. He's like, check this board game out. And they sit down and they start reading the rules for it. And the pieces are like magnets or something because they move automatically. So then they open it. The dice roll out and the pieces go to the start and all that stuff, and they're playing, and the first roll they get, these bats come flying out of nowhere, and out of the chimney, I think it was, and fly out the door, and the girl freaks out, and, because that was her turn, because she rolled first.
It was her turn.
And, because each time you roll the dice, weird stuff happens.
I was going to say, this is what the game board looked like in the book. Look how boring that is.
It is boring. It looks like fucking Candyland.
Less than Candyland. It's like Harry Potter's scarf.
Yeah. But anyway, and then Robin Williams rolls, and what he rolls ends up getting him trapped in the game. And they're like, you're trapped in the game until someone rolls a 5. And the girl freaks out and runs away. And then it flashes to present day, or I guess 26 years later, according to the movie. And... kids move into the house where Robin Williams' parents lived as a kid, and then you find out that the rumors are that the dad killed the son and hid the body and they never found it, and because of all the controversy and stuff, the sneaker factory closed down, everyone moved away, and all that. But as the kids were looking around the house, they find the board game, and they're like, hey, let's play this. And the two kids start rolling the dice, and I forget what happens first. A bunch of monkeys, I think, come out of the game.
Sounds about right.
And they're like, oh, crap. And then the other kid, he rolls a 5, I think, and Robin Williams comes out.
These monkeys.
Yeah, they're very CG.
Well, that's different from the picture in the book. Oh,
they're very CG looking in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I saw the one they're like riding a motorcycle or something.
And they roll a 5, and Robin Williams comes out as if he aged 26 years. And because he's been trapped in the board game this whole time, he knows everything about the game. He knows everything about the game. So, like, oh, okay. And they won't let them continue the game. He's like, we have to continue the game. And once we get to someone finishes the game, everything goes back to normal. And the kid rolls and it won't let him roll. And they're like, why not? Because it wasn't your turn. This game started back when I was a kid. So they had to find the other girl who'd grown up to continue the game. And someone rolls, I don't know what number, but there's this hunter. Oh, it was Robin Williams rolled this, I forget what number it was. But this hunter comes out of the game to try to kill him.
Oh.
So he keeps stealing the board game. And then throughout the whole movie, they're trying to play this game, but the board game keeps getting stolen or misplaced or out of reach. And they're all running around trying to get to the board so they can finish the game. And then the one kid rolls and tries to move. He takes the dice. He's like, I'm only 6 bases away from the finish. So he holds the dice and gently drops them so it gets a 6. And they're like, that's cheating. You're supposed to roll the dice. So then the kid starts turning into a monkey.
Oh!
Because he cheated. Yeah, it's freaking weird. And then, of course, obviously, by the end of the movie, they finished the game. Yay! And now it's back in 1960-something. And Robin Williams is like a kid again. And he's like, oh, we finished the game. Everything went back to normal. What about those two kids? They don't exist yet. So then he...
That's dark.
So then Robin Williams' character goes back to his dad. And he says, I'm the one who screwed up in the shoe factory and blah, 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 and writing wrongs and all this stuff. And then flash forward 26 years, Robin Williams and that girl are, like, together and they're, you know, older now, like, where the movie for the most part was. Uh-huh. And they see the two kids, and they're like, oh, we haven't seen you forever. And the kids are like, I don't know who you are. And it is very weird because then my mind started going into time travel stuff or parallel dimensions, and then the movie got really freaking, like, I couldn't stop thinking about weird stuff about
then
the movie.
Then the twist came. That's good.
Because that whole movie technically took place, but it didn't at the same time. I don't know.
This is what the book is like. It was like a picture book, but it was like a live text on one page, and then
just seemed like a movie where they're trying to sell a board game.
Yeah, like I was telling Jason,
if you had a game like that with, like, magnets and basically a magic 8-ball
real
center
animals
and stuff and made of wood, that thing would be well over $50.
Oh, yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to sell that. So then they came out with the cardboard the version.
Yeah, like I was telling Jason, we read that book in, like, elementary school, I remember. So I was kind of telling him, like, it's just a generic, like, it's a rainy day outside, so they play a game. Like, what? It's weird.
Yeah, so as you can see, I just ruined that movie, but I assume most people saw it. So that's why I tell the names at the beginning of these podcasts for this year, because then you can't yell at me, because we normally don't spoil movies.
No, I try not to, unless I really hate it.
I usually figure, which, since everyone's seen these movies, or at least know about
them,
I'm
going to ruin a movie in 2 movies from now.
So I gave that a 6.5. It was fun, but I'm assuming it would have been a lot more fun as a kid.
Yeah.
Because the entire time I'm watching it, I was just thinking of the game as product placement. We must play this game! So yeah, 6.5.
The next movie I watched, it was a comedy movie with Dave Foley. Nope. Yep.
No, you're fine, Cat.
It was called The Wrong Guy.
I saw this a long time ago.
Oh, because Dave Foley played Dave Nelson in News Radio, and his character's name was Nelson something, and it broke my brain. His first name was Nelson, though. But what happens is it's a comedy, and it's partially written by Dave Foley, and so like it has some really kind of bizarre type humor to it.
The Kids in the Hall.
Kind of Kids in the Hall-esque. But what happens is like it's this guy, his Nelson, is going into work, and he's like all excited because today's the big day where the president is going to retire, and he's going to name his next president in charge, and he's almost certain that it's him. And of course, he finds out it's not him, and he gets all pissed off. He's like, "I've been working my ass off for this company. I'm even engaged to your daughter." He's like, "Yeah, but not my favorite daughter." and so he gets all upset and goes back to his desk, and he comes back. He's like, "No, I'm going to tell him a thing about." Actually, at first, then of course, he threatens him. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to kill you!" Blah, blah, blah. And then like he goes back to his desk, and then comes back. He's like, "No, I want to talk to you about this." And then he goes into his president's office, and then. He's like kind of looking at him like, why is he staring weird at me? And then the guy falls down on his desk and there's like a knife in the back of him. He's like, oh God. So Nelson wanders over. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And he pulls the knife out of the back of his head. He's like, oh, there's blood on his hands. He's like wiping it all over his coat. And he's like just covered in blood, just like screaming, not knowing what to do. So he's like, should I put the knife back in? So he starts like putting the knife back into the body and stuff like that. And then of course he gets really paranoid because he's like, oh God, everyone's gonna think that I killed the president of this company. So then he leaves the building and like starts just on the run from the police. And then it cuts to like the police station and we're like, yeah, so again, this videotape, showing that, the guy comes in and kills him, and then this guy discovers the body. So it's actually this guy, this killer over here. But of course Nelson doesn't know this, so he's constantly like trying to avoid the police. And every time he sees a police officer, he's like he's just trying to hide and run and some of that. But they're then
not even just looking for him for like
no, they're not even looking for him at all.
Oh,
they're just looking for the actual killer. But then, just by happenstance, Nelson keeps accidentally following the real killer as he's getting away. So then he keeps drawing cops here and there and stuff. And it actually has some pretty funny moments. Because there is one part where he's like signing into a hotel room. He's like, "Oh, just sign this book right here." He's like, "All right," and he signs it. He's like looking like really pleased on his face. He's like, "Oh, so what's your name, Mr.?" It's like, "Oh, it's Mr. Chris. And they're both like just trying to read the name, and they're like, "No, it's Chris Christensen. And like, it was just, I don't know, it was funny because like, if he wrote his name, how would you not know what it is? I don't know. It had some pretty funny moments. And then Jennifer Tilly was in it for a little bit too, and she was kind of funny. And I don't know, there's some pretty
Well, you're starting it. It sounded like you're gonna hate on it a lot.
Did I?
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna ruin this one."
No, the next one. I said two movies from now. Okay. No, this one I liked. I gave it a 7.5 because it takes a lot for me to in a comedy movie to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And since this isn't like just generic run of the mill, like, "Hey, up, son, show their wiener." It actually had some pretty funny moments.
What kind of movies are you watching?
I don't know, American Pie movies or whatever. I don't watch those.
But here's your
like the one where he's trying to chase down a train, and eventually he gets in, and then it just stops. He was just chasing the whole time. I don't know, whatever. Next. I'll do the next one. So, I want to say like a year or two ago, you showed me a trailer for, like, this movie looks awful.
Watched it.
And I agreed. It was called Hold Your Breath. Now, if you want to, pause.
You want this movie spoiled, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I was going to say, once I get done talking, pause the podcast. Just watch the trailer. Just find the trailer and go, they made this with intent on making a serious movie. It's called Hold Your Breath, and
yeah, I explained this movie to someone at work, and they started laughing.
Yeah, so it takes place.
I did not watch this movie. I don't plan on it.
I bought it because the used game and movie store went out of business. I bought it for like $1. So These friends from high school, it's honestly, if you took a cookie cutter of the most generic horror movie that anyone can make, this fits right in there, except they had the girl from 30 Rock to do the movie. But it's like a bunch of friends, they're in college, and they're like, hey, it's good to see each other. We haven't seen each other since high school. And, of course, one of them is like a fat stoner. One's a nerdy guy. One's like the girl's like, I'm a dumb bimbo and sleep with everybody. And then, like, the couple and, like, this and this. Is like, it's the most generic shit. And like, we're going to go camping up here in this area. Cool. And as they're actually, I forgot to mention, at the very beginning of the movie, they show a guy getting put to the electric chair because he was very evil and he killed a whole bunch of people. And only one person got away and it showed her there and she had this big scar on her face. You're like, oh, clearly he's a bad guy. But apparently right before they flipped the switch, he killed one of the prison guards who put him in there. So they fried him. And then it says, years later, present day, like how many years ago was this? Was this like 10 years, 5 years, 30 years? Who knows? But as the college kids are driving to go camping, they're like, oh, look, a really old cemetery. And the girl in the back is like, just fucking freaks out. She's like, everybody hold your breath. What? Why? Because legend has it that if you drive past...
the plot of the movie.
Yeah. If you drive past a cemetery and you don't hold your breath, the evil spirits from inside the cemetery will go into your body. And of course, since one of them is stoner, he's like taking a puff on his pipe. And he starts coughing, and as he's coughing, an evil spirit goes inside him of the guy from the beginning, in case you didn't know, because they keep having flashes.
Right, because that's the important one.
Uh-huh. And apparently, much like the movie Fallen,
He can.
He just, like one, at one point, someone punches the guy in the stomach, and then you see like a vapor of smoke come out of his mouth and then go to somebody else. But for like... I think a 20-minute section, they end up stumbling into the prison and, like, just wandering around like a bunch of fucking idiots.
Because you can just do that.
Yeah. And they found the electric chair, and one girl's like, hey, if you sit in this electric chair, I'll give you a blowjob. And girl's like, oh, okay. And then they start strapping him in, and then the lightning starts coming, and the guy starts freaking out, and he's like, untie me, untie me. And like, wow, you're freaking out. He's like, untie me. And like, just god damn it. Fucking shitty suspense. Anyways, skipping a whole bunch of other dumb stuff that happens in the movie. Eventually, at one point, they go camping. One of their friends is missing their bag, so they go drive back, and they're walking around, and then they're like, oh no, it's been hours. Our friends are missing. Where'd they go? So they walk over, and they start walking past the cemetery, and they say, one girl goes, wait, shouldn't we hold our breath? And the guy goes, no, no, no. That only works in a car. If you're driving past it.
So fucking dumb.
You're driving past it. It doesn't matter if you're walking.
The spirits didn't exist before cars.
Yeah, it's true. Evil spirits didn't exist before cars. But then they see one of their friends get ripped apart by a car in the cemetery. And this old...
Ripped apart by a car?
Well, like... The person that was possessed, like, tied her to a tree with barbed wire, and the barbed wire is tied to the car. So then, also tying her hand, so then when the car started driving, it, like, ripped her in half with barbed wire or something. I don't know. The physics didn't seem like it worked. But then this old guy just comes out of nowhere with a gun and explains to them that he knows every year... On the guy's death anniversary, the prisoner, he goes out and jumps into some random person. So this guy's been, like, for years, he's known this has been happening. He's like, I know one way to fight back.
Then why haven't you?
So he goes to the cop who gets murdered by the prisoner.
Oh, and just breathes heavily?
No, one of the kids breathes the good spirit into him. And then they have a ghost fight. The ghosts come out of the bodies that are fighting as they're flying around. And it looks like special effects from a Nintendo 64 game. And this was made in like the 2000s. It's fucking awful. But of course, the guy was saying that the spirit can only be out at night. But eventually, like as the two ghost spirits are fighting, they drove off. the kids drove off, and then in the next day, you find out that one of the people is still possessed. Like, and then I'm like, it ends like, but he said that the ghost only happens on the night of, so the next day it should be gone. He explained that. So why is the person still fucking possessed? A different person is possessed. Doesn't fucking make sense. But the ghost fight was the worst. Jesus Christ. I gave it a 2.5. I have 3 movies left.
I have 2. So the other movie I watched, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, was Rudy.
Rudy.
And a lot of people I talked to were surprised that I never saw it. But if you know me...
You don't like baseball.
Football. I don't like sports. But the movie's about football. It's not Bad News Bears. This is based on a true story.
Bad News Bears.
That's baseball.
Oh.
But this is Rudy. And it's the little guy from Lord of the Rings. He's one of the hobbits in it.
I always remember Seth. Dave from Encino Man.
Yeah, Encino Man. He was in Encino Man. But he's this little guy who... wants
do you to, say Seth?
I want to say his name's Seth something.
No. I'm pretty sure it's...
Sean.
Sean. Yep.
It's Sean.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
So he's this little guy who's like, I want to be on the Notre Dame football team. And everyone's like...
Sean Astin. Yep.
Sean Astin. There we go. And he's like, I want to be on the St. Norbert Fighting Irish football team. And I'm going to be awesome. He's playing football in high school and stuff like that. And they're like, but you have to go to that college in order to play. Yeah, so your grades are not good. And he's like, but I want to play. So then he goes to he goes to this priest and says, I really want to be on the football team. Like, in order to get there, you got to go to this other school, you know, basically a pre-college type school, so you can get your grades up, and then maybe you'll have a chance to play. He's like, I'm going to play for the Fighting Irish. I'm going to play football, and no one can stop me. And they're like, oh, okay, this kid's got pipe dreams. And he eventually gets his grades up, and they're like, okay, football tryouts. And he goes, and he tries his hardest to play football. And they're like, wow, you have way more team spirit than any of these other players, but you're tiny.
He's a hobbit.
And so they're like, we'll put you on the team because maybe you can inspire these other people to play better and stuff like that. So he's on the team. He's like, yeah, I'm on the team. And no one believes that he's on the team because he's not playing any games. He's sitting on the bench. He's not even, like, dressed for the game. Because I guess you have so many people and only a set number of people are dressed for the game.
Okay.
So he's on the team, but he is not able to play any of the games. So he goes and tells the story to the coach and says, I've tried so hard and I want to prove to people that I'm on the team and I'm good enough and all this stuff. And he's like, all I'm asking is to be able to be dressed for one game. That's it. Just one. You don't have to play me. I just want to be on that bench so people can see that I'm part of the team. And the coach is like, yeah, but we need all those roster spots for actual playing members and stuff like that. He goes, but please. He's like, fine. One game. I'll let you be on the bench for one game. And he's like, all right. Then the coach isn't the coach anymore. They have a new coach come in. He's like, oh, I wanted to play. And the coach is like, nope. So every week, he runs out, looks at the roster, not on it. Last game of the season, goes in, he's not on it. He's like, oh, he's so angry and stuff, and he just wants to quit. And then all the teammates are like, you can't quit. You put all this energy and time into it. He's like, what's the point if I can't ever play? So then every team member goes into the coach's office, and they throw their jersey down. If Rudy's not in, I'm not playing. And then each player did that. And they're like, fine, we'll put him on the bench. He won't play, but he'll be on the bench. And then it's the happiest moment. He's proven to his family and everybody that he's on the team, he's on the bench and stuff like that. And then toward the end of the game, the Fighting Irish were up really fucking high. So, like, we were going to win this game no matter what. Let's just fucking put him in. because he's like a defensive guy. And they put him on, and he stops the freaking game, and they win. But he didn't
make... Stops the game?
Well, he runs out the clock and stuff, but not, you know... Because they already won, but it was a big deal for them, so they're all, like, super excited, so they raise him up on the shoulders and stuff like that, and everyone's like, why are they doing this? He didn't score any points and stuff, but it was a pretty good movie, I'm not going to lie. I was crying toward the end.
Aww.
Even though I don't care about football, it was a pretty good movie. I gave it a 7. It was just weird, because the entire time I'm watching, I'm like, this is bullshit. This would never happen. But I got sucked into it. Fucking movie magic. Magic movies.
But the genre is biography. It had to have happened. It did happen. Everything is 100% real.
Yeah, it was based on a true story. But it's just like, this kid doesn't have good grades. He can't get into the school. And he ends up playing football for him. And he's tiny and he has bad grades. That's just giving kids hope that shouldn't have hope.
Wow.
So I gave them 7. So, yeah, Jumanji and Rudy were the two movies this month that I have not seen that I should have seen.
Now, Jason, you'll have to check your thing again, because I watched a movie. I want to say you watched it a year ago.
I'm getting it. Good lock screen.
But
forever.
I watched The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the movie's... a little bit long. It's like probably 220 or something like that. I don't know. 215.
Spider-Man 2, August of 2014.
That wasn't last year.
That was
the first year.
Yeah.
But I watched it. So if you want to listen more about the plot, Jason did.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a 7.5 too.
Yeah, I thought it was enjoyable.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm not going to go into it again because you can see my feelings in that other podcast.
Although, I have to say, I watched it and Max Dillon was a little bit of a weird character.
Who's Max Dillon?
He's Electro.
Oh.
Like before.
It's like there was Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, but the character. The character Max Dillon before he was Electro.
And super nerdy guy.
Yeah, he was always obsessed with Spider-Man. Like, I don't know, it rubbed me wrong. I was like, oh, this is too cheesy. But then, like, he had his initial fight. And then later on, I'm like, I fell asleep and I woke up. I woke up and the final fight of the movie, which is an Electro. And I was like, what happened? So I had to go back and rewatch it.
You missed the big fight with Electro.
I missed the big fight with Electro, like literally the 10 minutes I fell asleep.
That was like the biggest part of the entire movie.
Yeah, which I'm sure if because like the part that I fell asleep at, the last thing I remember was the train tokens, which is right.
Holy shit!
What,
from his parents?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. That was the last part. And then, like, so, like, it's that, and then it's, like, and then he goes to fight Electro. So it's, like, 15 minutes I missed. And then, I watched, like, as soon as, like, the ending. And
so it was, like, the end fight with the Rhino and stuff? You woke up?
No. I woke up as Goblin, New Goblin, is fighting Spider-Man, and Gwen Stacy's like, I'm here! And you're like, I was like, oh. And I actually felt really bad. After a certain part of that movie,
yeah,
I was like, "Oh fuck!"
Yeah, like I actually understand how that movie did that bad.
Yeah, like
it
I
was
actually
better
like
better than the other trilogy.
Yeah, like, I was sad as shit at the end of that movie. I was like, "Oh fuck!"
Yeah, and they left it with so many fucking open plots.
Yeah,
that hey, we're gonna have like they had like 3 movies planned after this one.
Yeah. And actually,
and they set up like 3 movies.
And actually, I fucking like I don't know what happened, but like the part there's a part where like Rhino's like walking around like whoa, I'm beating shit up, and then that little kid comes out in the Spider-Man costume.
Like,
I'm like,
he's gonna die.
I'm like, this is so cheesy. And like, and then the mom screamed like, no, I'm like, no. I was like, what the fuck just happened to me? I was like, this is so cheesy. Yeah, she's gonna run out there. And then
that's
like,
how I was with Rudy.
And then as soon as the mom yelled, I was like, I felt so bad. I'm like, he's gonna get hurt. God damn it. It was fucking stupid. But yeah, I gave it a 7.5. The next movie I watched was one of those movies I watched in high school, and it was so good, and every time I watch it, I love it. 12 Angry Men. It's like, I haven't seen the remake. But sometimes the original the original black and white one. Yeah. I saw. With Henry Fonda and stuff, but
the guy from To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, that's Gregory Peck.
Oh.
That's
I don't I saw it in high school. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. But in case you didn't know what that is about, it's 12 jurors.
Rural
jurors. Are basically like, hey, this kid is in court for, on like death row, not death row, like he's basically to see if he's going to get put to the chair. And they're like, all right, well, these witnesses saw him kill his father. His witnesses said that this and this and this. Like, everything is stacked against this kid. And everyone's like, all right, yeah, this should be open and shut. All right, let's vote. Guilty, 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 guilty. And then one guy's like,
nope.
Not guilty. And like, what do you mean not guilty?
He's a shitty lawyer.
Like, what do you mean not guilty? He's like, well, all this evidence. Like, yeah, yeah, I know all the evidence, but it's like, so why do you think he's not guilty? I'm like, well, I didn't say he's not guilty. I'm just not sure yet. So it's like, so it's almost like 11 and a half. Like, out of 12 say he's guilty, because he's like, I'm not sure yet. And then, of course, people are mad because, like, it's like a really, really hot summer day, and it's like, there's like, the fan isn't working, and it's like, and they're just getting, like, more and more angry at each other and stuff. And it's weird because, like, watching it around the time, like, in January, like, as Trump is going into office, a lot of people's reactions to, like, how things are was very topical, because, like, I don't know, it felt really weird, because, like, these people, like, yeah, he's guilty, you know, those people, like, in the slums, like, they're always guilty, they always do this, it's like, and, like, people just, like, the higher class and the lower class, just, like, assuming everything on, like, it just felt, I don't know, it felt weird, like, very topical, even though the movie was, like, what, in the 50s, but, yeah, it's proof that one of those movies that, if you write a good script, that's all that matters. I shouldn't say all that matters, but it's like it's something that really... Yeah,
'cause it basically took place all in one room.
Yeah, like 95% of the movie was just in one room. Because initially they show like, oh, yeah, in court, like you see the kid and stuff, and then at the very end when they're leaving the courtroom. Yeah. But like it's all like majority just in that room. And it's like the guy's like, yeah, yeah, like let's look at this evidence. Let's look at this evidence. And he slowly starts like... convincing people that, like, maybe he isn't guilty. Maybe this and this. And like, it just, it's, I don't know, man. It's a really good, it's like one of my favorite movies, I think. Like, probably my top 25. So I gave it an 8.5.
Nice.
Because it was one of those, like I said, I saw it numerous times, but then, like, Barnes & Noble had a Criterion Collection sale, and it was there. I'm like, I'm buying it. So, yeah.
Okay, so the last movie I watched this month was The Visit.
Which I was going to watch and then I didn't.
Yeah. Because, okay, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, which everyone has mixed reviews about M. Night Shyamalan.
Everyone loves him.
Most people don't like him, but I like him. I enjoy his movies. And I picked this up at Halloween, but I didn't get around to watching it. But he just had a new movie come out in January, The Split.
Oh, yeah.
So it kept going, oh, I want to see this. I should really watch The Visit since I bought it. So that kind of, like, pushed me to actually watch it this month. And in case you haven't seen The Visit or seen a trailer or anything, I'm not going to spoil it. Because, like most M. Night Shyamalans, there's a twist. Oh. Whether you consider it a twist or not, you might figure half the shit out halfway through the movie. But anyway, because it's not like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to give too much about the twist. But the whole premise of the movie is, this I didn't realize from the trailer, is that the entire movie was shot by the two kids. And that kind of turned me away right at the beginning.
Because they're kids.
Because they're kids, and I don't like kids. But, so it's kind of, it's not really a found footage film, but it's like, more of a documentary type thing. The kid's mother is going to go on a cruise, so she's sending her two kids to the grandparents' house for the week. But the mother had a falling out with the grandparents because they didn't want her to get married to the guy she got married to. I forget what happened to the guy, but he's not in the picture anymore, the dad. So she's trying to make amends with her grandparents, hoping that sending her kids with to the grandparents for a week will kind of lessen it, you know? So the kids are going to go and try to convince their grandparents, hey, you should give mom another shot, you know, that kind of thing. But because of the fight between the mother and the grandparents, the kids never saw their grandparents before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bringing their camera equipment and they're going to like film a documentary about their grandparents and try to like tie up loose ends between their mom and the grandparents. So that's why they're filming this whole thing. So there's a reason for it. But the one little boy, he's like, I'm a rap artist. I do awesome rap. And you're like, well, white kid rapping. And he does that right at the beginning of the movie. And he's like, we could put like a rap music song at the end of the movie. And it'd be awesome. You should do that for me. And she's like, no documentary has a rap song at the end. So there's like stupid jokes like that through the movie that the kid's trying to be, you know, rap artist and stuff. And she's trying to be, you know, more artsy and stuff because she's trying to film this documentary. But they go to see their grandparents and, you know, they're having a great time. The grandparents are like, oh, so glad we finally get to meet you and stuff like that because, you know, your mom's a bitch. But they don't say that. But
your mom's a piece of shit.
We're old. We go to bed early. So bedtime's at 9:30. So if you could go to bed at 9:30 at the same time, you know, and then you won't accidentally wake us up. I'm like, all right. And the kids are sitting in the room like, it's 9:30. We are not tired. And the kid's like, I'm going to sneak downstairs and get some cookies. Because they made cookies that day.
Oh.
So she's like going to sneak down. And she's like trying to be really quiet. She gets to the stairs and sees her grandmother walking around naked, throwing up, just randomly vomiting all over the place. And like, what the fuck is happening? And then she goes back to the bed and like, no, this is something's wrong. And the one boy's like, the parents, something's wrong with their grandparents. And she's like, they're just old. I think they probably got problems. So they talk to the grandparents the next day. And she's like, yeah, she kind of has a little bit of dementia. And her medicine, she got put on new medicine. So she had a bad reaction.
What a twist.
Just kidding. And they're like, okay. So she's old and has, you know, diseases and stuff. And then there's another scene where they're going outside. And the kid's like, oh, what's that smell in the shed? They go in the shed and they're like, oh my God. And he opens the door and there's just a pile of fucking soiled diapers. Just pooped diapers. And they find out that the grandpa wears diapers because he's old and he can't hold his balls anymore and stuff. Like, why is he keeping it in the shed? Oh, he's embarrassed about it and stuff. And
yeah, not the trash.
Right. So they're just like, she's like, yeah, they're old, blah, blah, blah. And the kid's like, no, there's something fucking wrong with our grandparents. So they're trying to like, they set up a hidden camera in the thing to try to figure out what their grandparents are doing at
night. I just kind of want to know why she like sneaks downstairs to get cookies and she's like, I'm bringing the camera with.
Right. I don't understand that either. But so there's like weird shit that starts happening. And then they do sit down interviews with their grandparents. Their grandparents are telling stories that are really fucking weird and stuff. And I don't know. At first, I wasn't liking the movie, but as it started going and revealing more and more about the characters, I liked it, and by the end, I enjoyed it, except during the credits, they had the fucking rap song.
Ha!
Because they set it up at the beginning of the movie, so you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Like I said, the beginning was really slow to get into it, but once things started moving, because, I mean, there was a lot of setup, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
The last movie that I have for the month, I watched an anime movie called Akira, which is, I've seen that numerous times.
Oh, yeah. I saw this like 2 or 3 times.
Probably seen it about 5 or 6 times. Yeah, but I bought it like 3 years ago. Let's see, it came out in 88. And I bought the 25th anniversary, so that was 2013. So I bought this movie like 4 years ago. And I finally...
Oh, it came out in 88?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I can't remember when I watched it.
I watched it in high school.
I watched it in the 90s.
I watched it in high school on VHS, yeah.
Because I brought it from Brian.
But, yeah. But, yeah, the 20th anniversary, and I watched it. But it's a long movie, and it's messed up, but I love it. It takes place, after World War III in Neo-Tokyo, because after the war, it destroyed a lot of the city. So there's a section of the town that's, the old city part where a lot of gangs and stuff hang out. But the movie starts with this motorcycle gang with Tetsuo and Kaneda, and there's this clown biker gang that is kind of their enemies. So they go off and have a fight with them. But meanwhile, there's these student protesters that are attacking the army and stuff like that. And hey, you guys are fucking up us as students and stuff. And yeah, we're fighting back. So it's a cover thing for all the shit that's happening. But in the meantime, during the protest, there's this guy who's running around with this little kid who's super pale and crazy faced. And, and you find out, you slowly find out that there's these children that have special gifts, special psychic gifts, that they can do other things beyond what normal humans can do. And in this biker gang chase, one of the characters ends up, almost hitting the kid with his bike, and then, basically the little kid, just quick puts up this psychic barrier, and he gets into it. Tetsuo gets into a accident, but that in turn triggers his inner ability, and psychic ability to be awakened. Majority of the movie is, if you ever see the movie Chronicle is almost a live action version of an American version of Akira, because there's a kid who's I have all these crazy powers. And he's fuck everyone. I was always a weakling. I'm the strong one now. I have powers, and you guys can't stop me. And you don't know how to use them yet. Just calm down. Control yourself. He's no, you can't tell me what to do. I'm stronger than you now. And meanwhile, the other characters are trying to figure out, because there's a whole, government conspiracy thing that, because after the World War, a lot of people are putting their money into the military, and part of the military branch is this hidden thing that they're doing for with the psychic and testing on children and stuff like that. But it gets pretty crazy near the end, and I'm not still, after how many times I've watched it, I'm still not 100% sure on what the fuck is happening. But it's some of the cinematic stuff is awesome, and it's a long movie, but it doesn't feel like it to me, because it it's so entertaining. I don't know. I like it a lot. I also give this one an 8.5.
I like that movie a lot. I haven't seen it in a long time either, but
it's so good. But yeah, that's it for the month for me.
Yeah.
The best movie that I watched was either 12 Angry Men or Akira at 8.5.
And mine was The Visit at 8.
And the worst movie I watched was Hold Your Breath at 2.5.
Mine was Sharknado with 3.5.
Yeah, and all 8 movies I watched this month were on my list, because they're all movies that I own. Own on either DVD or Blu-rays. If you want to email and say, hey, I watched these movies, or I didn't, and I liked them, or I hated them, or you should watch this movie, any ideas, comments, complaints, concerns, questions,
See, the funniest thing is I'm telling people that I made a list of movies that I should have seen, and every time I mention the movies, people are always shocked by them. And then they start asking me questions, did you see this movie, and this? I'm like, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah. But
it's kind of funny, because they're like, have you seen Jaws? I'm like, yes. Have you seen Gremlins? Of course.
Yeah. Those are my favorite movies.
So I'm just like, yeah, I've seen these. Just because I haven't seen... I'm like, most of these are movies that the genre is something I normally wouldn't watch. You know, like sports movies.
Yeah. Which 3 movies apparently I need to see that I've never seen that everyone gets mad at me are all basically in the same genre. Usual Suspects, mm-hmm. Casino, and Goodfellas.
I watched that.
I've never seen any of those, and they're all.
That was the first year, 2014. I watched Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in my box set of 50 best movies.
Wow.
Yeah. Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
All right. Well, at least I know you have it. Oh, and yeah, if you want to email, it's stuffbyscott@gmail.com. StuffbyScott at gmail.com. I think other than that, that's for January. That's
a wrap.
Click. Do 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 do